welcome, and it's great to have you here with us today. If we haven't met before, I'm Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3, and welcome to whichever venue you're in or on the online stream. Great to have you with us as well today. You know, coming in this morning, I'm thinking, man, it's a holiday weekend. You know, snow is happening. You know, man, I'm just going to be preaching to the staff. But believe me, they need it. but I'm glad that you guys are here too, right? That's awesome. I'm so glad that you came through the blizzard of 2019 or whatever it's going to be called. So anyway, hey, let me tell you where we're at here. We're starting a brand new series now, and we're leading up to Christmas, and we're calling it Surviving Christmas. Why are we calling it Surviving Christmas? The reason why we're calling it Surviving Christmas is because, in case you haven't figured it out, but I think most people realize this, the holidays is the most fun and happiest time, but it can also be the most depressing time. For some people, you're just thinking, as we're starting December today and going through up to Christmas, you're like, oh my goodness, I just want to skip it. I just want to go from here to January. I don't want to deal with Christmas because you're not looking forward to it. And here's why, and many of you know this, because something has happened but since last Christmas to this coming one. You maybe last year had somebody at your Christmas tree and your Christmas day, and all of a sudden, they're gone. They've stepped into eternity, and you don't know, how am I going to have Christmas without them? For some of you, you're not looking forward to it because you've had maybe in your finances kind of a downward turn, and all of a sudden you're like, I got to get stuff for the kids and for loved ones and friends and stuff, and I have no money for rent, and how am I going to pay for all these presents? And so you're just like freaking out, not sure how you're going to be able to survive Christmas. For others of you, you're not looking forward to it for a couple of reasons. Maybe you've broken up with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe you were married and you are separated. Maybe you were married and you're divorced. And you're like, I don't want to go through this Christmas because this will be the first one that isn't normal. This is after something bad has happened. And what's interesting, and you know this, what's interesting is that the holidays seems to magnify things. If things are good, it makes it look better. And if things are not so good, it makes it look worse. And that's why we sometimes just want to skip over the holidays and go into January instead. And it's something, and some of you realize this as well, this time of year is a time where people have the most depression ever because of the holidays. It's supposed to be all fun and exciting and the most wonderful time of the year. But let's be honest, sometimes it isn't. And some of you are just, you've got depression already thinking about how it's supposed to be wonderful, and it's not going to be wonderful. And you are just wanting to get through this thing. How do we survive the holidays? Today we're talking about, I titled this one, the most wonderful time of the world. Not. It's not really the most wonderful time of the world because sometimes so many people are just sick and tired and just don't even want to go through the Christmas season. You know, there's a married couple, a wife said to her husband, she says, you know, for Christmas, I want you to give me something that'll go from 0 to 250 in 10 seconds. On Christmas morning, she opened up her package and he got her a scale. That was not... Can I tell you that one or both of them had depression after that, right? I mean, this is something that we just deal with all the time. In fact, let me tell you something. I read a true story this week on the national news. I was reading online. This article was saying that people for the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, people during the holidays get sick and tired of their relatives within 4 hours. 4 hours. Catch that. Now, so you probably heard the old saying, you know, relatives and fish, only three days. This is now saying, if you're having relatives coming into your house for Christmas or you are going to their place for Christmas, you don't even have 3 days. Within 4 hours, people are done. I want you to get your presents I gave you and get out. I mean, that's basically what it is saying. Merry Christmas, see you next year. That's pretty much it. 4 hours, people get tired of their relatives being there. And we look at this and go, is this really the most wonderful time of the year? Because so many people have depression, anxiety, and fear, and no, not enough money, and it's not the same as it was last year, so I don't want to go through this. And all of a sudden, what is going on? Can I tell you that even though even though sometimes plans get ruined, things change, even though there's stress in our life during Christmas, we look at the first Christmas and we go, they didn't have any of that. Because remember that song, you know, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Can I tell you two words about that song? Baloney. You read the first in the scripture about the first Christmas, it was chaos. There was problems. There was difficulties. There was interrupted plans all over in that first story. Let me read it to you in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18 and going through 25, let me just read part of what this says. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Hang on to that. Next line. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now let's put these two sentences together. They got engaged. Before they came together, before they got married, all of a sudden she's found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Then the next line says he was getting ready to divorce her quietly. This tells me a couple things. First of all, it tells me that she went to him and said, Joseph, we got to talk. I'm pregnant. And the father's God. Can you imagine? I mean, pretend you don't even know the story, right? You're Joseph. And here comes your bride-to-be coming to you and say, honey, I got to tell you something. I'm pregnant by God. And you're going, are you going to stick with that story? Or are you going to come up with a better one? No, it's true. So then the next line says, because he was a righteous man, he decided he was going to divorce her quietly. In other words, he did not agree. He's like, yeah, that's the most far-fetched story I have ever heard. And so he was willing to divorce her, which also tells me this. Back then, in the first century, they had stronger laws than we do now. If you were to get engaged, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you decided to call it off, you would not have to divorce the person. You just say, I ain't going to marry you. Here, they were just engaged, but he was going to have to divorce her. It's like they were already married. They had stronger laws back then than we do now. But after he, Joseph, had considered this, now listen, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, say it with me, God with us. Let's hit pause for a second. Did you know this is always God's plan? God's plan has always been to be with us. You see it in the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis when God created this world. And then after he created this world, he created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. And then you would see that in the evening, he'd walk in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve, walking and talking with them. How cool is that? God was with them at the very beginning, and then they sinned. And because of their sin and because of all of our sin, we have ruined this world. Now we have sickness, we have death, we have war, we have disease, we have all these different things. And yet then you turn to the back of the Bible in Revelation, and it talks about how God is going to recreate and fix all the mess that we have caused. And he will be with us. So in the beginning, he was with us. And in the end, he will be with us. But now we see, here's Jesus, the Son of God, leaving heaven, coming to earth, named Jesus, which stands for God with us. This has always been God's plan. And those of you who have a personal relationship with God will understand the scripture talks about when we come into a personal relationship where we accept what Jesus did on the cross, when he died for our sins and he rose again, and we accept what he did so that we don't have to die for all eternity paying for our sins. We can now take what he did for us. All of a sudden now, when we come into that relationship, scripture tells us that he will give us a seal and a deposit of his Holy Spirit within us. So we see in the beginning of time, God with us. End of time, God with us. Jesus leaving heaven to come to earth, God with us. And when we accept Jesus Christ, all of a sudden his Holy Spirit lives within us. God with us. This is God's heart. From the very beginning to the very end, God wants to be with us. Why? I don't know. Because after 4 hours, we're sick and tired of each other. And yet God wants to be with us. It's always been his plan. It's always been his heart. And I don't know where you're at this Christmas season with God. But can I tell you that God's desire, God's passion is to be God with you, is to have a relationship with you if you don't know him. That's why he came, for you to know him, for you to have a relationship with him, for you to know him now that goes through the rest of your life and on into eternity. But you can say no, because God gave you a free will just like he gave everyone else. It's your choice. But God's heart beats for you. God with us, God with you. He wants to be with you. God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to the son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Wow. Does not sound like a very silent night, holy night. A lot of chaos, a lot of interruptions, a lot of things that were going on. I mean, just think about this. They had their plans interrupted, which tells me this. I'm going to give this to you in your notes. Here it is. Two tips to help us through the most wonderful time of the year. Number one is this. Expect plans to be interrupted. I'm telling you, if their plans were interrupted, our plans will be interrupted. Plan on it. Whatever you've got planned for this holiday season, for your Christmas, be prepared. There will probably, at some point along the road, you're going to have your plans interrupted. Let me give you a verse. In verse 18, it says this. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. In other words, Mary and Joseph were planning a wedding, and suddenly they had to plan a nursery. They had plans. They had their plans. I can just picture Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph, after they got engaged, he probably had plans as a carpenter to build a house for his new family. I'm going to build one for me and my wife, and someday we're going to have kids. And so he's got plans, and all of a sudden, his plans go out the window because she comes and says that she's pregnant. And let's think about her plans. She just got engaged. She just got engaged, and let me tell you, for you ladies who have been married before, you understand that that's a big deal. When you get engaged, you got to figure out which dress. She's probably going to, like, dress shops, trying to put on, you know, which wedding dress to get, and the bridesmaid's dresses. She's probably going to have to order them on Amazon. I mean, she's got a lot to do, right, to get ready for the wedding. And so she's planning this wedding and all the flowers and all the different things and stuff, and all of a sudden, interruption. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Whew. Wow. Amazing. Their plans were interrupted. But can I tell you, it wasn't just their plans. All of a sudden, on the night when Jesus was born, there's these, in Bethlehem, just outside of Bethlehem, there's these shepherds watching their sheep. And they had plans. Their plans were like, hey, let's kind of have an early night. Tonight's getting night. We're going to start a fire, kind of be warm around the fire. Have some of the guys will be awake watching the sheep, making sure that no animals come and eat them and stuff. The rest of us are going to have a good night's sleep. And all of a sudden, their plans are interrupted. All of a sudden, and you know the story, the sky is dark, but all of a sudden it becomes like a noonday sun. And it's just bright, and they're looking up. And there's these angels. Now, imagine, just pretend for me. Pretend you don't know the story. Pretend you were there for the very first time. You're one of those shepherds, and all of a sudden, you have plans to hit around the fire and then finally go to sleep, and all of a sudden, boom, there's thousands of angels up there. You're freaking out. You don't understand what's going on, and they're talking to you, and they're going, hey, great news. The baby, the Messiah, the Savior that's been prophesied for over 700 years just was born, just right over here, a stone thrown away. Just go take a look at it. And then all of a sudden they start singing. I'm going to tell you, as wonderful of a story that is, If that were to happen to you and you're in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden, boop, you would be freaking out. You would be scared to death. You would be dropping down going, don't kill me. I don't understand what I'm saying. This interrupted their plans. But can I tell you some other people that plans were interrupted? A guy named Herod. Herod wanted to be known as the king of the Jews. And all of a sudden he gets word that, hey, there's a baby been born. And he's called the king of the Jews. And all of a sudden Herod is like, no, I'm the king of the Jews. And so after he hears this, he calls in his guards and he says, look, guys, there is a baby that's been born called the king of the Jews. And let me tell you what, he's not going to grow up enough to be the king of the Jews because I want you to go over there and I want you to find every baby boy from birth to age 2 and kill him. It just ruined his plans because his plan was he was going to be king of the Jews. But you know who else plans it ruined? The people who lived there who got a knock on the door and then all of a sudden the door gets kicked in and in comes a guard going over to your little baby boy, grabbing him, taking him outside and killing him. That ruined their plans. You see, if God is going to interrupt all these other people's plans for his son Jesus to be born, God with us, there's probably a chance that your plans and my plans will be interrupted as well. We just got to be prepared. We got to realize that is what is going to happen. If God interrupts their plans, he's going to interrupt ours as well. But let me give you something for your notes. Here it is. We can make plans. Oh, we can make plans all we want. But our plans may not. Our plans may not be what God's planned for us. We make our plans, but sometimes our plans isn't God's plans. God maybe has a different plan for us. Let me give you a verse in James. James is a book of the Bible towards the back part of the Bible. James was written by a guy named James. James was actually Jesus' younger brother. After Jesus was born, after Mary and Joseph ended up getting married, they then had other kids, and one of their other kids was James. I'm going to tell you, for some people say, I don't believe that Jesus died and rose again. Can I point you to James? Because James, I'm sure his older brother said, hey, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Savior. He's like, yeah, whatever. But then when he saw his older brother die, and then 3 days later, he saw his older son rise again, his older brother rise again. All of a sudden, James is going, you are the Savior, you are the Messiah. If you have any doubt, look at James, because what would it take for your brother to convince you that he's the Messiah, right? And that's what happened. James, to me, is the guy that I always look to because, I mean, there's Paul that saw Jesus after he resurrected and many of the other disciples. But I always look to James. I'm like, that's the brother. I mean, if anybody's going to have any sort of skepticism, it's going to be James. But he came to realize he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. And James writes this in the book of James, chapter 4. He says this, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Now listen to what he says. What is your life? You are a mist. Psst. When you spray a mist, it just goes for like 2 seconds and it's gone. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is God's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, don't say, I'm going to do this or that, because that may not be God's will. If it's God's will, why? Because God knows everything. He's from the beginning to the end. We are only on this planet for a little bit. I don't care if you're 90 years old. I don't care if you're 15 years old. For the little time we are here, for whatever years you live, it goes by quick. And I'm going to tell you, as you get older, it seems like it's going quicker. You look back on your life and you're like, wow, where did the time go? And then I know people older than me, they're going, yeah, it feels like that somebody sped up the clock. Like things are going even faster. Your life, my life, is just a mist. We're just here on this planet for a brief time. It's all about God and his plans. We sometimes try to fight him. We're going, no, God, it's about my plans. And he goes, that's cute. But no, it's not. It's about my plans. Let me give you an example. And if you're a regular C3, I know I've told this at some point in the past. But at this time of year, I am always reminded of this. When we had our daughter was born on December 8th. And so we thought, oh, that's awesome. A couple weeks before Christmas, we got a great baby, you know, it's going to be a great Christmas, blah, blah, blah. About 2 weeks later, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she just started screaming bloody murder from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to about 4 in the morning. Later, we found out it was a thing called colic. Have any of you experienced colic, or do you have a child that's now colic? You raise your hand. Okay, let's pray for you right now. Okay. I had no clue what colic was, but it's something that I think happens in their stomach or whatever that just makes them hurt, and they just scream for like a dozen hours at a time. And so the first couple of nights, my wife and I stayed up together, and then a family at the church that we were part of at the time came and told us. They said, you know, what'll help your child is to give her a little bit of alcohol. And I'm thinking, I don't think they have AA meetings for babies, and so I'm not going to do that. And then I thought, well, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I'm supposed to drink the alcohol, so I just pass out and don't have to listen to the crying anymore. Either way, we didn't use the alcohol. But so after a couple nights, my wife had a brilliant idea. She said, I will stay up tonight, and you get to sleep. And then tomorrow, you stay up, and I will sleep. And we did that for about 2 weeks, back and forth. And I'll tell you, I fought her the first night because I thought, no, you need sleep too. But I'll tell you, by the third night, the next time, when it was my turn to sleep, I was not fighting her. Like, here's the kid. Good luck. You know. But here's the thing. Things change. We had plans for a beautiful Christmas, and it went out the window because we had this screaming baby for the next 3 to 4 weeks. And it was just murder. It just killed us. Sometimes these things happen. Sometimes we have our plans interrupted. But let me give you a second thing for your notes. When your plans get interrupted, second thing is this. Try to get God's take on the interruption. Try to get God's take. Try to figure out, God, why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to happen? Joseph, when he heard that Mary was pregnant, he kind of had a knee-jerk reaction. It says in verse 19, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. He was just going to divorce her. He wasn't trying to get God's take on this thing. But later on, you see in verses 20 through 25, he then, in a dream, a angel comes to him and tells him the whole story. Yes, it's true what Mary said. This is from God. And when he woke up, he chose to believe that this was something that he was to accept. He took God's word, and he understood that God had an interruption for a purpose and for a reason. And what's interesting is because of Joseph being able to do that, he was able to actually name his son Jesus. He was actually the one that was able to raise his son Jesus. I mean, that's just amazing when you stop and think about it. But many of us, we have interruptions. In fact, we wouldn't even call them interruptions. We would say our plans were ruined. But let me tell you, when you have plans, and just be prepared for not only this Christmas season, but in life, any time of the year, you will have plans for whatever, and they will be interrupted. And when they get interrupted, what are we to do about it? Well, let me give you a few things. The first thing, if you're taking notes, is pray. Can I tell you, most people do not do that. I know it's not you, it's those people around you. But oftentimes what we do is we'll try to do everything else. And then when nothing else works, we say something like this, well, I guess I've got nothing else to do but pray. And God's going, well, that's cute, but I wish you'd start there. I wish you would pray first. Scripture's very clear about this, praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says this, pray how? Pray what? Continually. Now, this is an interesting verse because some people will say, well, Mark, does this mean that I need to pray 24/7? No, doesn't mean that. Let me give you an example. Usually each morning I will get up and I'll read out of the Bible and then I'll pray over different things. And then during the week when I'm at the office here, oftentimes I'll have somebody stop by or they'll email me and they'll say something like, hey, Mark, can you pray for such and such or this need that I have? And then on Mondays, all the connection cards that every one of you fill out, we look over and we can pray over them. So I'll read them and I'll pray over the different prayer requests and stuff. But when it says pray continually, Some people go, do I have to pray 24/7? No. You know, I just told you that I usually pray in the morning. So if somebody emails me and says, Mark, will you pray for me about such and stuff? I don't respond and go, no, sorry, I already prayed this morning, so you're going to have to wait till tomorrow morning. I don't do that. Pray continually to me means this. Pray continually means that I pray throughout the day. I'm not praying 24/7, but I pray throughout the day when God prompts me, when something comes to my mind, when somebody asks me to pray for them, I will do that. That's what I think praying continually means. Is yeah, you may pray. Some of you may be praying in the morning, maybe praying in the evening, but throughout the day, if somebody asks you to or God prompts something in your mind, pray as well. And when our plans are interrupted, can I encourage you, not last thing, but first thing, pray. And ask God for wisdom and guidance and courage and help and all these different things that we desperately need because we don't understand why our plan suddenly got interrupted. But let me give you a second thing. After we pray, then we try to get perspective. We try to get perspective. Now, perspective is something that is sometimes hard to get. We try to do what we can, but sometimes we got to look at the plans that got kind of ruined or kind of changed. We got to put them in perspective and go, is it really a big deal? Stop and think about that. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're having your small group over to your house, and you're trying to get everything ready and stuff, and all of a sudden the doorbell rings, and you haven't got time to vacuum the floor. And you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't get time to vacuum the floor, and there's some dirt here and there and stuff. Can I tell you, put that in perspective. It's not that big of a deal. Most of your people coming in probably won't even notice it. But even if they do, it's going to make them feel better because they're going, I haven't vacuumed my floors for 6 months. And I'm so glad to see somebody else hasn't done it for a while either. It's going to make them feel better. But sometimes we just go over the top. Oh, I didn't get it done, and I'm so terrible, and you just beat yourself down. No, put it in perspective. Put it in perspective. In Luke 12, it says this. And Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, say it with me, do not worry. Oh, but we worry. We get worried and upset when things don't go the way we want, and it goes out of perspective somehow. Let me give you another verse. In Matthew 6, it says this. Do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Well, tomorrow will worry about itself. Don't worry about it now. See, God's telling us to not worry, but so often all we do is worry. So let me see how your perspective is on some things. I'm going to give you three different scenarios, and I want you to pick A, B, or C to each of these scenarios. Here's the first one. The first one is this. You're at a grocery line getting ready to check out, and it's 10 items or less, and you only have two, like green beans, cans, but the person in front of you has like 18 things. How do you handle it? How do you handle it? How do you respond? First one, letter A, is this gratitude for the green bean casserole that your family's going to enjoy at Christmas time? Maybe. How about B, you grit your teeth and you grumble under your breath? Or C, do you yell at the cashier, they have 18 items, huh? Like you're tattling, huh? Which one is you? Which one would you be honest? Just answer to yourself. Don't need to raise your hand or anything, but just inside, which one is you? Let me give you another one. Second scenario. You receive a letter from the IRS that you're going to be audited. How do you respond to this audit? Letter A. Do you have gratitude that you live in America, the land of the free and the hope of the brave? Or is it B, do you grab your phone and call your accountant? Or is it C, you call the IRS and tell them where they can stick their audit? Which one is you? Just say it inside yourself. Are you A, are you B, or are you C? Let me give you one last scenario. Third scenario is this. You're driving your daughter to school to drop her off, and somebody in front parks there, and you're now... You're like hidden there. I mean, you can't get out. What do you do? What do you do? How do you respond? Do you A, do you give thanks for this time to be able to stop and smell the roses and the car fumes? Do you B, do you grab the steering wheel tightly and have smoke come out of your ears? Or do you C, honk your horn continually until you sound out, move your car with Morse cord? Okay, so which one? Just think to yourself, are you A, B, or C? Now, let me ask you this. For those of you who had all B's, you need to relax. For those of you that have all C's, you need therapy. For those of you that picked all A's, you should be up here teaching this message. For those of you that picked kind of an A or a B or C, you had different answers, welcome to the club. That's how most people are. But yet we need to pause and look and see, what is the perspective? Is it really that big a deal or not? Let me give you the last, another thing here. When our plans are interrupted, we ask for wisdom. We ask God for wisdom. In Isaiah 55, take a look at this. In Isaiah 55, this is God speaking. God says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher." Listen, God's saying, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, what God is saying, you can have your plans all you want, but my ways, my thoughts, the ways I do things is so beyond you, you will never understand in this life. Just realize you have plans, and sometimes I allow them to happen, but sometimes I have a different plan for you that's higher that you will never understand. But I ask you to trust me. I ask you to know that I love you, to trust me. That's what it's about. Ask for wisdom. I remember hearing a story one time about a mom she went to. She had about four younger kids, but she went over to the neighbors for just a little bit to talk with the neighbor. And then she comes back home to her house, and she walks in, and as she walks in, she sees her four little kids sitting in the living room with four little black kittens. And she thought, where did these kittens come from? And as she walks in closer, she realizes those aren't kittens, those are baby skunks. And all of a sudden, she says to her kids, run, get out of here. And everyone of the kids just got scared and startled, didn't know why. And they each picked up their little skunk and started running around, right? And they're running around. And mom's just getting more frantic. Get out of the house, leave, get. And the kids are like just running around, screaming, not knowing why mom is acting. And as they're running and screaming, all of a sudden, they didn't mean to, but each of these kids accidentally squeezed their little skunk. And can I tell you, skunks do not like to be squeezed. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, when we have problems and we have plans that are interrupted or ruined or whatever, don't have a knee-jerk reaction, because you might accidentally squeeze the skunk and you might make it worse. Keep it in perspective. Look for wisdom instead. But so often we don't do that. Let me give you something, last thing for your notes, then we're going to begin to wrap up. When interruptions happen, listen, we have two choices. One is, when interruptions happen, one of them is that our choice is we could become miserable. We could be mad, we could become miserable, or realize our plans may not be God's, and God is working his plans. Sometimes, let's be honest, our plans isn't God's plans. And God's going, okay, I'm going to work out my plan. You may not like it, but I'm going to do it because my plans are higher and better than your plans. So we ask for wisdom. Let me give you a story that we're going to end. In nature, maybe some of you have seen this. In nature, when a mama giraffe is about ready to give birth, she does not lay down. The mother giraffe stands up and gives birth. Now, I want you to picture for a moment. You're a baby giraffe inside of your mama's womb. It's nice and warm, it's dark, and suddenly you are exposed to this bright light, and it's kind of cold. And all of a sudden, because mama's standing up giving birth, and she's a very large animal, you, as little baby giraffe, gets dropped 10 feet. Boom! Welcome to the world. It's like, why don't they lay down? They stand up, and the baby drops 10 feet, hits the ground. Can you imagine? You're this little baby giraffe. You're like, what just happened? Why is it cold? Why am I hurting? Why is it bright? And while you're trying to figure things out, all of a sudden, you don't know who's doing it, but it's your mama that comes over and does this. And you go tumbling and rolling. And mama just dropped you 10 feet, and then mom kicked you about 15 feet. And you're like reeling, going, what is going on? And before you know it, all of a sudden, mama's there going, kicking you again. And as humans, we look at this and going, what a horrible mom. Why didn't she lay down to give birth? Why is she kicking the kid? The kid doesn't know anything. But here's the reality. The mama giraffe does this because she loves her little one. Because what she's doing is she's trying to teach the little one very quickly to get up on its legs its wobbly legs and learn to walk as quick as possible so it can stay up with the herd. Because if not, the herd will move on, and this little giraffe will be sitting there without being able to walk or learn how to walk yet, and he will be prey for other animals. This is something lovingly that the mother does to help the child. The child has no clue what's going on, but the mama is doing it out of love to protect and help the child. Can I tell you, sometimes when God interrupts our life, whether it's Christmas time or any time of the year, he interrupts our life, he interrupts our plans. Can I tell you, it's always for our good. It doesn't feel like it at times. But God always does it for a person, for a purpose and for a reason, because he loves us and because his ways are higher than ours and better than ours. If we would just learn to love him and to trust him. And that's all he asks us to do. Let's pray. So, Father, right now as we wrap up our time, Lord, I just thank you that you are a God that loves us. I thank you that you are a God who, Scripture says, God with us. You were with us in the beginning. You're going to be with us at the end when you fix all this mess that we've created. You sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth, God with us. Those of us who've come into a relationship with you, your Holy Spirit is within us. That's God with us. And Father, I'm so thankful for those of us right now, sound of my voice, or those on online stream that have that relationship. We just simply say, thank you. Father, I know that Christmas is a tough time for many people. I pray that you'll help them during their struggle of Christmas, where things aren't the same as it was last year, and they're not looking forward to it. Lord, I know that in our culture, we have decorations and presents and food and all these things, but the reality is this. Would you help us to just focus on the true meaning of Christmas? May we remember God with us. Jesus came for me. Lord, I think if we get right back to the nitty-gritty of what Christmas is about, we can have a good Christmas. Not with all this other stuff, but just focusing on you. So would you help us, for those that are struggling this year, help us to have a good Christmas? Father, I pray for those today that are here on a holiday weekend, on a day where it's snowing. But Lord, there are people here today or online that do not know you. They've never come into that relationship. They're here exploring. They're here learning. But Lord, today, they're hearing that God with us, that you want to be with them. You want to have the Holy Spirit live within them. You want to have a relationship with them. And Jesus, some of them are not quite ready yet, but some of them are. And those that know that today is their day, are just simply bowing their heart and saying, God, forgive me. Jesus, I believe you are God with us. I believe that you came and you died for me and you rose again. And you did it so that I don't have to pay for all my sins for all eternity. So Jesus, I accept you. And I accept what you did for me. And I say thank you. And Lord, I thank you that you right away come into relationship with them. And they have this relationship now and forever and ever. And we say thank you because you're God with us.